Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
The San Francisco Chronicle.
Legend.
He's also worked at the LA Times. And quietly worked at the National.
Wow.
The National.
You went back.
What's up, Scott?
Hey, I still got a big stash of National t-shirts and other goodies, beach towels and stuff.
Any XLs?
I probably do.
All right.
I'll see if I can dig one out.
Cool.
Dig two. I'm XL these days. Scott, I told the missus we were having you on. She said hello. You tell the missus and Gabe I said hello. But I got to ask you this question the great Steinmetz came up with. And he asked me, since 19 under Kyle Shanahan, two Super Bowl visits, four NFC championship visits, why hasn't this regime or team closed the deal? How would the great Scott Osler answer that?
Oh, just circumstances. Made a couple of mistakes here and there. But for me, getting that close is, I'm not saying it's good enough, but that shows me that they know what they're doing. They just, maybe Kyle's decision to kick off and take the first kick in the Super Bowl and stuff like that. I don't know. That's small stuff. But the fact that they were right on the doorstep a couple times is, I can't say that it's a failure, you know?
You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, always live on the free Odyssey app, Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. We're talking to Scott Osler of the San Francisco Chronicle. Scott, let me ask you this. Brock Purdy's making $1 million, and assuming everything follows the script, he's going to be paid, maybe 50 times $1 million. How do you how does that change of the fans' perception of him? Do you believe that next year, if he's making that big money, we're going to look at him differently?
Oh, yeah, everybody's going to look at him differently. And it's kind of unfair, but that's just the way it works. I'm thinking the way the market's going, it's got to be 60. If he walks in the offseason and is not able to demand a minimum of $60 million, that means he's had a subpar season. If he comes in and says, I'll take $50 million, that means he was disappointing and the team was disappointing. So I think they're hoping he walks in as a $60 million quarterback. But if he does, money always changes everything. It changes the player, it changes the fans' perception. I remember I was talking to Tony La Russa once about money, and the big money, and he said that in his experience, a big money contract fundamentally changes about 80 to 90% of players. It just does. Huh. So it could change Brock. It could change the perception. It certainly changed the makeup of the team for sure. So although you can't say if he signs for 60 or 65 million, that there's going to be more pressure on him, because how much more pressure can there be on the guy?
Wow.
He had pressure when he was the third stringer. And then when they made him a starter, then he got to the Super Bowl. How much more pressure can there be? I don't think the pressure is going to get to Brock Purdy at any point, no matter what he makes.
Wow. Scott, I hate that I'm programmed this way, but Evan and I saw you at the game Monday, and I was like, that damn Niner defense. And a week later, a lot went wrong in Minnesota. But what bothers me most, Scott, is there was no defensive pressure. Minnesota ran the ball, let Darnold get comfortable. What bothered you most about that loss in Minnesota?
Oh, that was big, yeah. No, it just seemed like the pressure was all on Purdy. I don't know what the exact stats were, but he got pressured a lot. He was under. He got sacked about six times. That's a lot. He got knocked down a lot, and Darnold didn't. And I'm thinking, I haven't broken down film or anything like that. But what was Nick Bosa? Were they triple teaming him? He can't lay it all on him, because the interior pass rush was a little deficient. They had a couple mistakes in the secondary, but yeah, way too comfortable. Another thing that bothered me is this talk about how Brian Flores screwed up the offense, the 49ers offense, by mixing things up. He's brilliant. He mixes things up. Well, again, I'm not deep enough expert, I guess, but isn't that what every defensive coach does? You try to disguise the coverages and mix things up and fool them and change up and blitz when they don't think you're going to blitz and vice versa. So I don't see why that should be an excuse that Brian Flores was so brilliant that he confused them.
Scott Osler joining us on 95.7 The Game. He writes for the San Francisco Chronicle. Let me switch it over to the baseball team, the San Francisco Giants, Scott. And you've been around here. Yeah, it's been 10 years since they've won a playoff series. What do you think's going on with Farhan Zaidi? Do you think he'll be back? And how does this franchise get back to relevancy like they were 10 years ago in this town?
Yeah, well, I think the deal is that obviously Farhan is on somewhat thin ice. The deal changes because we thought that Farhan had 2 years left on his contract, and that had been reported a bunch of times. And for some reason, the Giants and Farhan never corrected those reports. That he actually only has one season left, and so that changes the deal. So it would be easier to fire him. But if they were going to fire him, I think they probably would have done it by now. So I think that the situation is that he's going to be around again, but under different circumstances. I just don't think they can just sail into the offseason saying, all right, Farhan, we missed this time. Give it another shot, buddy. Slap him on the back.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Send them away. There's going to be some changes within the organization, I think. Whether it's hiring somebody else from the outside to be under Farhan and maybe take more, maybe have Farhan not do everything, you know, have him delegate some responsibility. Maybe Buster is going to take a little bit bigger role. I'm not sure Buster would want to be general manager anyway, but maybe Buster takes a bigger role. Maybe they bring in somebody like a Billy Owens from the outside to take over scouting in another department or two. So, you know, Farhan, they just maybe given him too much. They brought him in and said, you run everything. You do everything. You be in charge of everything. And more so than, say, under Brian Sabian and stuff. And maybe they're rethinking that, and maybe they're going to him and saying, man, it's not working. Here's some new rules here. Here's some new guidelines. Here's what we want you to do. So I think there'll be fundamental changes within, but and soon.
Yeah, I'll tell you.
They can't wait 2 or 3 months to do tweaking and adjusting. They got to move and groove, because that's been one of the problems all along, is that when Farhan does sign somebody, it's always too late in the game. It's too, they got to be very quick strike, proactive right now, I think.
Yeah, Scott, I've been, you know, in the Bay Area my whole life, and I've, you know, you've been reporting, but I'll tell you something that happened during a football weekend, over the weekend that happened, and now I feel like I don't know what to believe, but there were reports about Buster Posey's involvement and the signing of Matt Chapman and the messages that maybe the Giant ownership was sending, that Farhan wasn't up to par, or they didn't trust him. And then there's another report from the Athletic saying that story wasn't true. And I wasn't used to that here in this market. What did you make of all that? If you kind of get my drift on where I'm going about, you know, how involved Buster was in the Chapman signing.
Yeah, there was one report that Buster was kind of the deal maker. It kind of gave the impression that Zaidi couldn't get it done, dithering back and forth with Scott Boras. They couldn't get things done. Finally, Buster, I'm maybe overstating misrepresenting the story. I'm going to try to get it right. But the story is that, you know, Buster kind of got pissed off and stepped in and said, I'm going to go right to Chapman.
Yeah.
Hammer this out. And he went down and did it. Well, on further review, and Susan Slusser and John Shea from our paper did a story kind of getting into that. And the picture we paint is more nuanced, shall we say, that it's not uncommon. For instance, Zaidi can't go right to Chapman and talk to him because that's kind of against the rules. And so it's not unusual for somebody else in the organization, like in this case, Buster, to go to the player, directly to the player, and make the case. You know, maybe the 49ers did that a little bit with Ayuk and Shanahan. And so I think that it was a little bit more business as usual than may have been presented in the first story. So, but that being said, I kind of see Buster as maybe taking a little bit bigger role. Like I said, I don't think he wants to be one of those 24/7 general manager types, but maybe taking a bigger role and exerting more of a baseball influence on in an analytics driven organization. And I think that would be good because, you know, you got to have some people in the baseball organization that have a baseball heart, you know, who have actually played the game.
Scott Ostell is joining us on 95.7 The Game. He comes courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Let me throw this last one at you. And one of the things that I know about you, Scott, is you have a big picture perspective that I really respect. And I'm going to make a statement, or I'm going to ask you a question about Macklin Celebrini. Is there any chance that he is such a phenom that he could put hockey more on the map in the Bay Area?
Absolutely. What, at first it was only a rookie game or whatever it was, one of the exhibition type things. He came out and scored a goal right away.
Yep.
He seems to have that thing. You know what? I was down in Los Angeles working many years ago when the Kings traded for Wayne Gretzky. And Wayne was kind of middle to late in his career, still really great. And there was some controversy. Did they give up too much? And I made the case back then that, oh my God, you got a chance to get Wayne Gretzky. He could change everything. And he really did. Even drug in guys like me who are, you know, not hockey oriented. He changed the whole picture. And I think Celebrini has the potential anyway to grab people, you know, get their attention. Hey, hockey, let's check it out, man. This guy's so good. You know, kind of like Caitlin Clark in a way with the WNBA.
Mm. Yeah.
Good call.
Hey, Scott, thank you so much for joining us as always, and wish you nothing but the best.
Appreciate it.
Okay, fellas, and in your reward for having me on, I'll try to dig up a couple of those
pieces. Yeah. All right. Thanks, Scott. Take care, buddy.
So long, fellas.
All right, Scott Ostler, courtesy of the River Islands guest line. Is it a time for you to discover the islands, River Islands, in Lathrop?
Yeah. It is fascinating what's about to pop off with the Giants.
I think with the Sharks.
Oh, no, I love that you knew that. I said, well, you knew he scored.